So today we're going to do Simin Reish somewhat. We're going to try to cover two or three basic topics. Topic number one is the bracha on Tevila and exactly when the bracha should be recited as far as the timing of the bracha on Tevila. Topic number two that we're going to discuss is the idea of showering after Tevila, even though that does not come up in Simin Reish, but that is an important topic that is relevant. It comes up really in the next Simin, but I don't think we've ever discussed it. And considering that Rav Shechter just wrote a couple of tshuvas on the topic related to our current situation, I thought it would be worthwhile to have that discussion. So let's start with the bracha on the Tevila. So the sugya of Birchas HaMitzvah comes up in a few places in Shas, in Maseches Sukkah certainly, but also in the first parak of Maseches Pesachim. So sort of in Yana Diyoma for us right now. The Gemara at the beginning of Maseches Pesachim, let me get my Pesachim over here. I cannot get my Pesachim, one of my children has it. Okay, the Gemara in the beginning of Maseches Pesachim, that's a good sign. The Gemara in the beginning of Maseches Pesachim tells us that Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Kala Mitzvos, Mevarech Alein Over La'asiyasan, that we recite a bracha before doing each mitzvah, and then Rav Chista comments in the Gemara, Chutz Mina Tevila Bilvad, that when it comes to Tevila, you do not recite the bracha Over La'asiyasan. The Gemara quotes, Tanya Nami Hachi, Taval vi Allah ba'aliyaso Omer Baruch Hashem Kshon Mzotzit Tzvanu al ha-tevila, that only after coming out of the mikveh does one recite a bracha al ha-tevila, but not over la-asiyasan like you would any other birchas ha-mitzvah. So it seems like an open and shut case. When should a woman recite the bracha? She should go to the mikveh, come out, and then recite the bracha when she comes out of the mikveh. However, that is not at all obvious. Not only is it not obvious, it's probably incorrect. Rashi points out on that Gemara that Ezra made a takana that a Baal Keri is not allowed to say Divrei Torah or any brachos in the state of Tumah. It's also Baba Kama Pei Beis, part of Takanas Ezra. You have sugyas in Maseches Brachos about this as well, around Daf Chaf. And so it's necessary for a person to first be Tovel, get rid of their Tumah status, and then recite the bracha. Meaning, what's the basis for this exception? The Gemara tells us that every other mitzvah, you say a bracha over La'asiyasan, all of a sudden with Tevila, all bets are off. With Tevila, the rules change. Why would the rules change specifically for Tevila? So says Rashi, because it's simply an impossibility that a person is Tameh, they're not allowed to recite a bracha. So they can't say the bracha before going to the mikvah. The most common thing one would go to the mikvah for is being a Baal Keri. So a person who's a Baal Keri is unable to recite the bracha, Mitakonas Ezra. So he has to be Tovel before reciting the bracha. So all Tevilos, therefore, because once that was true of Takonas Ezra, it became true, once that was true of a Baal Keri, it became true of I'm just gonna mute everybody. It became true of all Tevilos. That's what Rashi writes. Now there is a discussion in Poskim, when a person should recite the bracha of Hamapil at night. And one of the Achronim brings a raya that it must be that, meaning let's say a person is going to have Tashmish Amita. So should you say Hamapil before Tashmish or after Tashmish? So one of the rayas that some of the Achronim bring is that it must be that you recite the bracha before Tashmish. Why? Because of Takanas Ezra, that a Baal Keri is not allowed to say Dvarim Shel Kedusha. The Baal Keri is not allowed to say Brachos or Davin after he's become a Baal Keri already. So it must be that a person is supposed to recite Hamapil prior to, it's a similar kind of thing to what Rashi's writing over here with the Tevila, that it's just simply an impossibility, and therefore it must be that you're supposed to recite a Mapil prior to Tashmish Amita, which is a fascinating idea, meaning that really talks to a little bit what the nature of the bracha of Hamapil is, meaning as children we were always brought up to be told that you're not allowed to say anything after Hamapil. So I have a piece about Hamapil in my second Sefer, in Simul Chav Beis, about the nature of the bracha of Hamapil. hamapil, and it's not at all pashut that you're not allowed to speak at all after hamapil. That is certainly the sheet of the Mishnah Brura, but there is a fundamental discussion, fundamental machlokas in the Achronim, what the nature of the bracha of hamapil is. But there's a fascinating insight that Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky has based on a Rambam. The Rambam in the 7th parak of Hilchos Tfila, with a pay, Tfila, writes, Kishi kanes adam lemitaso lishon belaila. When a person goes to sleep at night, when he goes to bed in order to sleep at night, mevarech baruch atah Hashem elokeinu melech haolam hamapil chev leishena v'chulei, and v'kore parsha rishona mikriya shema, and then he says the first parsha of kriya shema, v'yashen afilu ishto imo. And then he goes to sleep, even if his wife is with him. And then after that, he goes to sleep. Now, and then the Rambam says, and when he wakes up, at the end of his sleep, he makes a bracha, Elokai, neshama shenasat bivuchule. So the Rambam, it's interesting. He brings a different order than the Gemara brings. The Gemara says, you say amapil after you said kriya shema. The Rambam brings it the opposite. And also, the Rambam mentions, afilu ishto imo. Even if your wife is with you, you still say hamapil. What difference does it make if your wife is with you or your wife is not with you? Why would that matter as far as hamapil is concerned? So there's a beautiful ha'ara Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky has in the Emes Liyakov on Shulchan Aruch. Emes Liyakov on Shulchan Aruch happens to be a beautiful sefer. Emes Liyakov on the Torah is the more famous of the svarim of Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. Emes Liyakov on Shulchan Aruch is also a magnificent, magnificent sefer. And he writes, if you're medayik in the lashon of the Gemara, hanichnas lishon al mitaso, it's certainly someone who has not yet gone to sleep, because the Gemara previously talks about hanichnas lebeis hakneses. It means it's prior to going into a beis hakneses. And over here also, hanichnas lishon means you have not yet been shochev al mitaso. The Gemara and Daf Dalet tells us, Amar Bishob Levi Aval Pisha Kara Adam Kriyashma Besa Knesses Mitzvah Lekrosa Al Mitaso. So reading the parsha is clearly after Birchas Hamapil, because this bracha is when you are Nichnas Lishan Al Mitaso, and Shema is when you are Shochev Al Mitaso. So says Rabbi Yaakov, just basically following the pattern of what the Gemara means. The Gemara tells us, when do you say the parsha, the first parsha of Shema? When you are Shochev Al Mitaso, you're already lying on bed. When do you say the bracha of Hamapil? When you are Nichnas Lisha. Nichnas means you are not yet in bed. So the fact that the Gemara tells us to say Amapil at that point is because the Gemara wants to tell us that says Rabbi Yaakov that the fact that the Gemara associates the bracha of Hamapil with the bracha of Elokai Neshama is to let us know that the bracha of Hamapil is smucha l'chaverta in a certain sense, that it begins the bracha, the 100 brachos b'chol yom. The Rambam, when he lists off the 100 brachos a person says every day, he starts with Hamapil, because the Seder shel yom ends with sleeping, meaning once a person decides to go to sleep, once a person decides, I'm calling it a day, today is over, the sleep itself is the hachana for the next day. And therefore, the hamapil is smuch l'chavirta of Elokai neshama. So says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, umitam ze nirali. Dima echad shochev al mitaso berav lishon sha'a uchadome. Va'achar kach yilmod sha'os achados, va'achar chatzos yishon kama sha'os. Let's say a person takes a nap from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. and then he wakes up and learns night seder from 9 to 12. And then he goes to sleep again. When should he say Amapil? He says, you say Amapil before the sleep that's going to end your day, because that's the one that's associated with the Elokai Neshama. And then says Rabbi Yaakov, Ubir lanu Rambam, dekriyas parsha rishona zui tchilas hashena, v'kamash malon kan, da'afilu ishto yeshena imo, kolomar, va'afilo bedaito l'shamesh, gam kein mivarech tchila hamapil, Says the Rambam beautifully. He says, says Rabbi Yaakov rather beautifully. The Rambam is telling us that hamapil is when a person decides his previous day is over, and it therefore marks the beginning of sleeping. But sleeping does not mean just actually being unconscious. It does not mean just actually sleeping. The first parsha of Kriyat Shema is part of the seder of how a Jew sleeps. Similarly, the Rambam is being mechadesh to us. Tashmish Hamita is part of the process of sleeping for a person who's going to be with his wife. And he says that's why the Rambam says that it's before Tashmish. That's why the Rambam emphasizes Afilu Ishto Imo, that even if his wife is with him, meaning he's going to be with his wife afterwards, he should still recite Amapil before. But anyway, that's all tangential to this idea. So again, Rashi tells us Takana Sezra, that there is a Takana Sezra that you're not allowed to recite a bracha while tameh, and therefore you have to, say the bracha of tevila after the tevila by all tevilos. Tosfos, however, quotes Rabbeinu Chananel, who disagrees. Rabbeinu Chananel says in the name of the Gaon that it's specifically by tevilas hager that we have this issue, meaning a non-Jew cannot say asher kiddushanu b'mitzvosav vitzivanu. He's not commanded in any mitzvos beyond the Shev Mitzvah Bnei Noach at that point, and therefore it's impossible for a ger to recite the bracha before being tovel. So the only tevila that's actually an exception is tevila sager. Oh, so that changes the picture very much. Whereas the pashtos of the Gemara is that tevila is an exception. Tosfos understands the name Rabbeinu Chananel. No, tevilas hager is an exception. Every other tevila you would still say over las yasan, just like by any tevila. And in fact, the Rif paskins like the Balei Tosfos that the only bracha that said la'acharas yasan is tevilas hager. But every other tevila we would recite the tevila first. In fact, the Rambam holds that way as well. The Rambam in general is very a big overlas yasan person. Even in cases where we don't recite a bracha overlas yasan, the Rambam holds that you do. Hadlakas nero Shabbos, right? So most of our wives, when they light hadlakas nero Shabbos, would first light the candles and then recite the bracha. Yoni, yours also? Your wife also? You follow Minigur of Shechter? What are you, Minigur of Shechter?
No,
you do the normal thing. Okay, all right. Okay, it's like a shibboleth, you know, see how dedicated a Talmud you are. So anyway, no, chas v'shalom. A woman should follow her, whatever. Okay, so the large majority of the world has a practice that that the woman first lights the candles, then she covers her eyes while she recites the bracha so that it's somewhat over las yasan, but it's not really over las yasan. And yet the Rambam holds not that way. The Rambam says it should be over las yasan, like Rebbe Tzin Shechter does, that you first recite the bracha and then you light the candles. Why does the large majority of the world do not that way? Because there is a shita sabahag that a woman is mekabel Shabbos when she lights her candles. So since that's a kabbalah Shabbos, it would be chilul, I'm sorry, when she recites the bracha. So the minhag is to become to light first and then recite the bracha so that it shouldn't be a chilul Shabbos. But that's against the Rambam and many other Rishonim. So that's why the Ramban writes say you should light Shabbos candles even before Hanukkah candles. Whoa, Shabbos candles before Hanukkah candles, according to some Rishonim. Obviously assuming that the lighting of the Shabbos candles is not a Kabbalah Shabbos. That's what a lot of the poskim write, that if a man is lighting Shabbos candles, his wife just had a baby, is in the hospital, or whatever, a man is lighting Shabbos candles, so he should certainly do it over Las Yasan, because for a man, it's definitely not a Kabbalah Shabbos. He's Mekabel Shabbos in Shul always. He's not Mekabel Shabbos at that point. But anyway, that's the Rambam sides with, even though the Rambam is a big over Las Yasan person, specifically because the Rambam is a big over Las Yasan person, the Rambam agrees with the Rif that only Tevilas Hager is an exception. Other than Tevilas Hager, all brachos, including brachos of Tevila, are done over Las Yasan. The Bahag writes that, look, the Brisa says that tevila is an exception. So meila, tevila is an exception. Why would you assume that it's only tevila sager? So how do we paskin in Shulchan Aruch? Says the Mechaber, kisha poshetes malbusheha, when she disrobes, kisha omedes bichaluka, when she's wearing just one layer of clothing, tivarech asher kedushanu b'mitzvos v'tzivanu al hatevila. So when she's wearing only the robe, I shouldn't have said disrobes, when she takes off her regular clothing and she's wearing only her robe, she should say the bracha. Then v'tifshot chaluka v'titpol. Then she should take off the robe and go into the mikvah, meaning over las yasan v'im lo bircha oz. If she didn't recite the bracha then at least she should get her body into the water up until her neck. And if it's clear water, she should try to dirty the water, sully the water a little bit, and say the bracha then, right before dipping. We'll get to that issue in a moment, about erva and saying a bracha in front of erva, and how dirtying the water helps. We'll get to that in a moment. But first, just as far as Ovelas Yasan, Mechaber is very clear. Ovelas Yasan comes along the Ramah, v'yesh omrim shalot tevarich adachar tevila, that there are those that say that the bracha is always after the tevila. Tur b'shem bahag, and that's the bahag that we just mentioned. V'Rashi, and Rashi also says like this, v'chein ogin shalachar hatevila ba'oda omedes b'toch hamayim mechasis atzma b'bgada o b'chaluka. Wow, says the Ramah, you know when she says the bracha? When, not only right after she dips, she gets out, she gets dressed, and then she recites the bracha. Now he's obviously dealing with the issue, with the problem, that she can't say the bracha if she's totally unclothed. She needs to say the bracha when she's... So the Mechaber deals with that problem by saying, good, so say the bracha when you're still dressed before going in. And the Ramah says, no, say the bracha after you get dressed, once you've already come out. So that's how the Ramah writes, is the minhag of Bnei Ashkenaz. However, the poskim over here all quote the Shla HaKadosh. The Shla HaKadosh deals with this issue, and he tries to come up with a compromise. And he says that many people have the practice that a woman should fully immerse in the water, meaning not just neck in the water like the Mechaber says, do a full tevila, come up, say the bracha, and then go again. And in that way, you satisfy every single shita, because you've said the bracha before the tevila, but you've also said the bracha after the tevila. There were just two different tevilos. There was tevila number one and tevila number two. And that, says the Shla HaKadosh, should satisfy everybody. Comes along the Dagal Mervava, and he says, it doesn't satisfy me. The Dagla Mervava says that I saw that there is such a notion that an Ish Kadosh, the Shla, has written this Eitza to do this double Tevila with the Bracha in between. And he says, I've got a lot of problems with this idea. He says, what exactly are you accomplishing? What you're accomplishing? How exactly are you satisfying the Shita that holds that it needs to be over Las Yasan? How are you satisfying the sheet of the Mechaber, which is the sheet of the Rif, and the sheet of the Rambam, the sheet of Balei HaTosfos, that it needs to be over Las Yasan? Because she's going to do another Tevila afterwards? Guess what? She's Tahora already. It's too late. Once she's already dipped once, that's all you need in order for her to be Tahora. So what's the value of it? And even if you want to say, no, she's going to have Kavana, that she that when she does the first Tevila, that if the first if the din is that you're supposed to say the bracha over Las Yasan, then the first Tevila shouldn't count as anything, and therefore she's still saying the bracha over Las Yasan. He says it's totally not true, because the first Tevila is no less than a woman who goes to the mikvah without any Kavana. And if you go to the mikvah without any kavanah, that also works. So we discussed that in Simkuf Tzadichah. Someone shoves her in the mikvah. That also works. She goes to the beach. She goes swimming in the air. That also works. So Dagla Mervava says, Al Pisvara, the Shla is just it's just totally incorrect. And then he quotes further that there's a Rambam in Hilchos Mikvaos. Let me see if I can get it. I didn't... I don't have good notes today, so I've got to find the svarim themselves. Excuse me. The Rambam, The Rambam in Hilchos Mikvaos. Did I get the right volume? Yeah. The Rambam in Hilchos Mikvaos, Perek Aleph Halachatas. There we are. Perek Aleph Halachatas. Hakofes yada v'ragla v'yashav lo ba'amas hamayim. Im nichlus umayim derech kulo tahar. Hakofes l'toch hamikva hareze meguna. If a person jumps in a mikvah, that is meguna. That's not appropriate. V'atovel pa'amayim b'mikvah hareze meguna. Says the Rambam, to be tovel twice in a mikvah is considered to be a meguna. Ooh, so says the Kesef Mishnah, why? Why is jumping in a mikvah maguna? Why is going twice in a mikvah maguna? Says the Kesef Mishnah, Kosev Arivash B'tshuva, Sh'Rabbeinu Mefaresh, Mimpnei Shakovetz L'mikvah, Afim Miskavin Litval, Haroim Sivurim She'eno Miskavin El Lohaker. It looks like you're going for a swim. Who goes off a diving board into a mikvah? V'chein HaTovel Pamayim, Kivin She'tovel Karo'oi, Loma Chozer V'tovel, Yachshu She'en HaTovel El Lohaker. If you're already toveled, why would you go a second time? Everyone's going to think you're just doing it to cool off. Vim yiga betrum of a kachim yusrum de lobay kavana. Va omer chaveru kavosh yarch. Okay, fine. So that the Rambam quotes from the Rivash that the problem is that it doesn't look like you're using the mikvah for tara. It looks like you're using the mikvah just to cool off. Let's see what the questions are. I have a negative kavana is different than zero kavana. No? Yeah, it is. So, but Dagum Ravava, right. That's a good point on the Dagum Ravava. I was also thinking of, can you give it tonight that maybe you have negative kavana? Maybe you have positive kavana. Yeah, so that issue of whether you can make such a tenai that I'm having negative kavana or perhaps kavana l'shei mitzvah is a major discussion when it comes to the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer, right? That's what the Mishra Brura discusses, what a person should do if you're davening in shul and it's you're davening Mariv during Ben HaShemashos. So Mishra Brura recommends such a tenai that a person should count the Omer, having in mind, without a bracha, having in mind that if it's already Laila, so then and I want this to count as my mitzvah of Sfiras Omer. Or if I forget later, I want this to count as my mitzvah of Sfiras Omer. But if I remember later, then this should not count, and I'm having kavana shelo latzeis, and therefore I'll be able to count later with a bracha. That's what the Mishmur recommends. A lot of the other achronim aren't so thrilled with that. They're not sure that you can make such a tanai, and that may be the issue over here with the Dagul Mervava and the Shla HaKadosh. But Dagum Ravava just points out that you also have this Rambam. So, you know, that seems to think that it's very inappropriate for a person to be tovel twice. So that's issue number one. Nevertheless, we'll get to what the minhag is in a moment. There's another issue with this whole thing, and that we've already mentioned in passing, and that is how do you say any brachos when a person is undressed? So neither the Mechaber nor the Ramah says that a woman should say a bracha undressed. The Mechaber says while she's dressed before she goes. The Ramah says while she's after she's dressed after the mikvah. So what do we do about the issue of libo roes ha'erva? And the erva itself just being uncovered, right? There are two issues, typically, if a person is not dressed. There's libo roes erva, and the erva itself being uncovered. The two can be separated from each other, right? If a person is wearing only a belt and no clothing, so you don't have libo roes erva, but the erva itself is uncovered. If a person is wearing only a loose-fitting robe, so the erva itself is covered, but you have a problem of libo roes erva. So how do we deal with those issues? So the drisha over here, in on the bottom of the tour, in the drisha writes, and over here in Simon Reish, that there's no concept of libo roes ha'erva when it comes to a woman. He quotes from an Orchos Chaim. The erva on a woman is anatomically in a different place than the erva on a man. So the entire discussion of libo roes ha'erva is only nogeya for men, and it's not nogeya for women. In fact, the Shach over here in Sif Katan Aleph, the Shach quotes this drisha. The Shach quotes this drisha, that you don't have this concern when it comes to a woman, and the Shach quotes it favorably, that there's no issue of libo ro servo when it comes to a woman, and he says, and therefore, even if a woman is in clear water, that would be enough to cover the erva also, meaning as far as the second issue of just having the erva exposed, even being in clear water would be enough to cover the erva. The Gemara in Brachos says that the only concern when you have clear water is that it's an issue of libo roa se'erva. So that implies that as far as covering the erva, clear water would be enough. The Taz also, in the end of Sivkan Gimel, also says this, that the Gemara never asked from the din that the erva is megula, so you see that from the din of being in the water, so you see that it's a davar pashut, that the only issue when a person is in clear water is one of libo roa se'erva. So, to summarize, when it comes to libo roa se'erva, you have a machlokas whether it even applies to women, right? The Or Chos Chaim says it doesn't even apply to women. If it does apply to women, then clear water would not be enough. You would need to muddy up the waters in order to solve the libo roa se'erva problem. When it comes to erva being exposed, says both the Shach and the Taz, clear water would be enough to cover the erva. The Rambam in the ninth paragraph of the, I'm sorry, the so therefore, it would turn out that if a woman is in the mikveh and she's in clear water, her only concern might be libo roa se'erva. So to solve that problem, they recommend that she folds her arms over her body in a way that it creates a hefsek between the lev and the erva. I ain a guf mechasa es atzma or whatever. Okay, but we're going to rely on it that meikra din the guf is mechasa es atzma, especially since meikra din, it's very likely that there's no concern of libo roa se'erva by a woman anyway. So that I think is the most common practice, that a woman when she goes to the mikvah covers herself in that way. When she recites the bracha, if I'm not mistaken, common practice is like the Shla Kadosh, that a woman dips twice, even though really Mikra Din, a woman only really needs to dip once. There are people that have all sorts of interesting minhagim of dipping any number of times. Some have a minhag that they dip three times, one time just in case there are any more chatzitos that could loosely fall off of their body, and then another dip for the dip number one of the Shla Kadosh, then the bracha, then another dip for dip number two of the Shla Kadosh. I'm sure there are Kabbalistic things and other things that another minhagim that people have to dip even more than that, 613 times or whatever, but nevertheless, in order to actually be tahora, a woman only needs to dip that one time. And let's go to the last topic for today, and that is showering after the mikveh. This is not a
Does Rebbe recommend, but when like Rebbe's wife has kala classes, she says to do the shalom?
I think so. I should ask her actually. Let's see if she's around. We'll call her. Let's see what she says. What people actually do, you know? Like I've never, obviously we don't have these experiences. I think she's home. Let's see. Alana, we're learning how to be tovel right now in mikvah, and we have all these beautiful shitos and rishonim and everything. My understanding is that the common practice is that a woman dips once, folds her arms over her body, says the bracha, and then dips again. But I've never been there. So what do we actually recommend, lahalacha? What do you tell kalas to do? Just let me know. You could just type it in the WhatsApp now, if you don't mind. Okay, I'll let you know. All right, so moving along. Shulchan Aruch in Yerideya in Reish Aleph. So Reish Aleph is a long simin, Hilchos Mikvaos, all the way at the end. Simin Ayin, Si'if Ayin Hey. Yesh mi she'oser lahatil yorah malaya mayim chamin l'toch ha'mikvah l'chamimo, v'chein l'malus mikvah mayim chamin l'chabra l'nar b'shvaferes hanot. That Shulchan Aruch writes, that quotes from the Mordechai, that a mikveh can't be heated. You're not even allowed to add hot water to it because of a gzeira that it may lead to a person using mayim shu'uvin, that the water is heated in kelim. The Ramah says that our minhag is that we allow warm water to be poured into a mikveh as long as it has the proper amount of mei geshamim in advance. And then the Ramah says that a woman could even wash herself in mayim shu'uvin after the mikveh. Ula achar had tevila b'mei mikvah ksherim muteres likanes lemerchatz kedesha techamei matzma avalachzor v'lirchos achar kach yesh osrim v'chei nagu. Wow, so says the Ramah, if a woman is freezing cold, because she just went to the mikvah, let's say nowadays women's afraid, I'm getting so many calls now of women who are just, is it really safe? Can I go? And I'm not a doctor. I don't know what, you know, I'm telling them what the protocols are and that they've been run by doctors, but I'm not a doctor. I can't verify that anything is really safe. But a lot of women are asking, can they go to the ocean? So we've already discussed this. But let's say a woman decides and she goes to the ocean and she's freezing cold afterwards. So says the Ramah, she can go to a bathhouse to take a warm bath afterwards to warm her body up, but then not. After that, she can't bathe again. So what is this based on? That she's not allowed to, unless she's freezing cold, that she's not allowed to bathe after the mikveh. So what this is based on seems to be a Gemara that we just learned in the Daf Yomi in Maseches Shabbos Daf Yud Dalid. The Gemara tells us Habar Rosho Verubo B'Mayim Shuvin My Time Agos Be'Rabbanan Tuma, that one of the Yudches Davar, one of the Gezeros, is that if a person bathes in Mayim Shuvin, the Chacham were Gozer that they are Tamei. So why are they Tamei? What's the basis for the Gezera? Amar of Bibi, Amar of Asi, Shebetchila, Hayutovlin b'mei ma'aros, Mechunasin usruchin, Vayinosan le'yim ma'im shuvin. It used to be that people would go to the mikveh in these disgusting, dirty, filthy mikvaos, and then they would wash themselves off afterwards. Hischilu v'asom keva, so gozra le'yim tuma. They started doing that all the time, so the Chacham had to make a gzera that you become tamei from the bath. Says Amar, my keva, what does it mean? They started doing it all the time. What's so bad about that? Amar Abayi Shoyu Omrim Lo Elu Mitarim Ela Elu Veelu Mitarim, because people were getting the wrong impression. They were thinking it wasn't the mikveh that was mitire them, it was only the combination of the mikveh and the subsequent bath that was mitire them. Samalei Rava Meinav Kamina. Okay, so people will take a bath also. It's not going to kill them. You know, let them go to the mikveh. As long as they think the mikveh is part of it, I don't care what else they think is part of it, it should be perfectly fine. So Gemara says, no. No, they're going to be under the impression that it's not the mikveh that's mitahir them at all. It's only the bath that's mitahir them. I mean, they're looking at two bodies of water over here. One of them is filthy, gross, and disgusting, and the other one is like a spa, is beautiful, is marble and whatever, and everything is clean and beautiful. So they're looking at these two things, and they're told, one of these things makes you pure. So which one do you think is gonna people are gonna associate with purity? They're gonna associate Tara with the bath. So the Gemara tells us that because of that they made a gezera that anyone who goes in Mayim Shuvin is Tamei. Ooh, so that's a very strong basis to say that a woman should not bathe right after the mikveh, because apparently going to a bath right after the mikveh is metamei a person. However, that Gemara is in the context of Truma. The question is, does it apply for Nida Labaila as well? And is a woman really restricted from taking a shower after going to the mikveh? Now, obviously, a woman's allowed to take a shower eventually, right? This, even if there is some sort of restriction, it's not like forever. Women are allowed to, you know, practice normal hygiene. So it would seem that there's got to be some gedder, and the post can give all different types of gedarim. Some say till the next morning, which is the most machmir shita. Others say till she's slept with her husband. Others say as long as the husband has touched her. Others say as long as she's returned to her home. So you have different shitos as far as even if one does have to observe this minag, how far the minag goes. Now the Gra in his Bir HaGra, in the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch, in Siman Reish Aleph, in Os, Kuf, Chaf, Zayin, so the Gra writes, Mi Perakamed, the Shabbos Yudal Amir Aleph, Habar Rosh Verubo, Aval Kvar Cholku Olav, Digzera disham eno ella latruma. She had told me latruma midivrei sofrim. Aval tvilah, so also lo af l'truma shimshah kam yom in tzarech harv shemesh. V'chein tar, v'kol shekein l'bayla, t'bayla chulunu. The Gra says this whole thing can't possibly apply. Can't possibly apply to bayla, and therefore the whole thing is not a concern for us. However, the Rama does quote it, and therefore the general practice is that people try to be careful not to shower right after the mikveh. So how careful does one have to be? So Rav Moshe has a tshuva in Yaradei Chelek Beis Simin Sadivav, a tshuva to Rabbi Shlomo Shraga Rebek, written in the year Tavshin Chav Ches. So what, in like the 60s. So he quotes this Rama in the name of the Mordechai. And the Rav Moshe writes, I didn't look for the... he writes that if a woman is an istinis, yeah, the im hi isha istinisis, shelo tucha lisbol shelo lisrachet yom shalim, shia mitvilasa betchilas alayla ad gemara yom, meaning he has the most machmir shita, that this might mean until the end of that calendar day. So if she goes to the mikvah on, what day say, on Tuesday night, right, she's not going to be allowed to shower till Wednesday night, till after Tzeis HaKavim tomorrow night. He says, but if she's an istnis, she can't go that long without showering, yesh lahatir la, mikivin shalidinu rak das yachid, shein lachush l'day azu. This whole thing is only das yachid, you have to be choshesh. V'rak shenogu lahachmir, sein lahachmir al kibarova pam shalak atzorach gadol. Then Rav Moshe says, ach, eini roa bezeh bestam nashim tzorach kol kach, he says, I don't know that many istanisim that mamish can't go a day, they can't go 24 hours without showering. So he says, I wonder how broadly this heter can be applied. So Moshe writes, the minhag not to bathe after the tevilas mitzvah is only, first of all, he writes earlier in the tshuva, it's only if she's going to be with her husband on that same day as the tevila. If her husband's not coming home for another few days, then you don't have any such restriction that the b'chiyai gavno lo nagu. But second, he writes, it's a das yachid. And because it's a das yachid, for an istinis, we could be makel. He's just somewhat cynical about how much of an istinis a woman ever really is on this issue. So I'll tell you that there are women that are. That the thought of going into a pool of water that other humans have been in, that other people have been in, makes their skin crawl. There are women that have to like psych themselves up to go to the mikveh because they just they have such OCD about that particular issue that it really is an avoda for them, and they need to shower immediately afterwards. So in such a case, we're going to allow them to shower immediately afterwards because this is a das yachid, and for an istinis we rely on Rav Moshe. Rav Vazner and Shevet Alevi says that he relies on if the husband touches his wife, it might be enough. So Rav Shechter, in his recent tshuvas, discusses a woman going to take a shower after using the mikveh. Again, women are so nervous about using the mikveh nowadays with the coronavirus. So can she shower afterwards? So Rav Shechter writes, Davar zeh shal ha'ar zarua me'atosos rid, im ha'isha mutaris l'skaleach l'achashatav lo b'mikveh, dimirashi in Shabbos mashma shemidrabanan zeh mevatel ma'frayas tvilasa. Rashi sounds like a Masech Shabbos, it will ruin the tvila. Maybe she even becomes a sur labayla. The aval pi sheheshiv sheim b'chumr zutam hichlit ar zura lahamshich b'chumr spaliyat tosef zeh v'chein huva b'ramah liyoredeya. And even though really mikra did we pass like the rov rishonim that it's not a problem, the Rama recommends being machmir. V'av sheyesh sovrim shachumr rak sheyeches ba'ofen sheiskaleach ba'oso abinyin shabal mikva aval k'shecheres l'beiso shuv ein makom lahachmir. And even though there are those that hold that no, the whole Israel of Nissim Krelitz writes this way, that the whole Israel is only to shower in the mikveh building. But as soon as she comes home, it's mutter, she left the building, it's fine. It's not considered that she's showering after the mikveh. But Mitshuva Sigrus Moshe, or Dei Beis, and Sadivav, Lo Mashmakein. Ramosha doesn't sound like he holds that way. And he's Machmir, Ad Harav Shemesh Haba, until the next evening. Ayin Sefer Gina Sego Simon Chaf Aleph, Rav Shechter writes, right? Achei Nira, where he's Machmir also. Achei Nira, Dekol Zeh Be'emes Rak Chumrahu. But all of this is only a chumrah. To meikra adin bevadai tzadik atosos rid kumvor sham begrus Moshe. Meikra adin, none of this is required. Ubishas sakana kishematzavenu hanochachi minanachon levater al chumrazu. He says in this kind of situation we have to be mevater on this chumrah, and that women should shower after the mikvah. Plus, Rav Moshe is makel for nistinus kal v'chomer in this situation. And then in the subsequent tshuva that Rav Shechter released more recently, where he talks about doctors and nurses showering if they come back from a shift on Shabbos, so he says, on Shabbos or Yantif, so he's makel that they can shower. However, he writes that if a woman is tovel on Lel Shabbos and she comes back home and she wants to shower, l'chora eino nira lahatir l'lachem mayim ba'ofen shel kala achar yad. Whereas Rav Shechter is willing to be makel that doctors or nurses can turn on even warm water kila achar yad in order to shower after a shift during this coronavirus outbreak, for a woman coming back from the mikvah on Friday night, she can shower, but only with cold water. Only with freezing cold water. She cannot even turn on the hot water tap a little bit, even kala achar yad. Why? What's the difference? He says, because a doctor or a nurse does not have a choice as to when their shift is going to be, and they're forced to be in the hospital on Shabbos and Yantiv, so they have no choice, and because of that, we're going to be matir using the hot water. But if a woman knows in advance that she can't take a freezing cold shower, that's just not something she's able to do, she can choose to go to the mikveh the following night. She can choose to go to the mikveh on Motzai Shabbos. Rav Shechter then goes into a longer discussion in brackets at the end of the tshuva. I recommend taking a look at it. I'm already way past, I told you it would only be 20 minutes here today. I've already doubled that. Rav Shechter has a long discussion about the machlokas rishonim, about putting oneself in a situation where they know that they're going to require chilul Shabbos. And he points out that that's really the chiluk over here. That the doctor and the nurse is not putting oneself in a situation where they're going to require chilul Shabbos. That situation is happening al korcham, whereas the woman, by choosing to go to the mikveh that night, if she knows she cannot take a cold shower, is putting herself in a situation that would require chilul Shabbos, and for that we're not going to allow her to be mechal Shabbos in any which way, so she can take a cold shower, because that's not really chilul Shabbos, but she cannot turn on the hot water. Rather, she should go on Motzai Shabbos. So that will be it for Hilchos Nida. Let me just see if my wife responded yet. To the text, you dip, bracha, dip. Then most people have a minute to dip again. Okay, azoy. So that's apparently what kallahs are taught. I would have thought, dip, dip, bracha, dip, if you're going to do three times. But she says, dip, bracha, dip, and then a lot of people dip again. What about folding the arms? I assume they fold the arms also. Why not? Once you're in there, I know by Gerus we tell them to fold their arms. We're not in the room when that happens. By Gerus, what happens is we tell the woman goes in wearing a robe. It's loose fitting, but she's wearing a robe. And while the Beis Din is in the room, she's toveles. But we instruct her in advance that as soon as we see her hair going under the mikveh, we're going under the water, we're gonna yell kosher, and then we bolt out of the room and close the door. Only the mikveh lady remains in the room. The woman comes out, pops up. When the mikveh lady's, and by the time she pops up, only the mikveh lady's there. She then removes the robe, holds her arms over her body, and recites a bracha, and is then toveles again. So that's the practice. Okay, everyone, have a chag kosher, bari v'sameach, and maybe we'll have a shir lunch. Stay tuned to Jed's WhatsApp updates. Maybe sometime over Chol HaMoed we'll be able to get together for a lunch. Maybe we'll have a larger crowd for lunch over Chol HaMoed, Bezras Hashem. Okay? Have a great question. Day. Yeah, sure, of course.
Is there a reason if Shechter wouldn't allow you to leave the hot water on from before Shabbos for a woman who wants to go to the mikveh and then take the hot water on Shabbos with hot water that was already running beforehand?
I don't think he addressed that. He didn't discuss that. Meaning that you're only running into the issue of the Gzeres HaBalanim, which he points out is a machlokas between Tosfos and the Ramban, whether that applies to water where the chill is taken out, to lukewarm water even, or only to, or doesn't apply Bichlal. So that's what he recommends, being machmir for the Ramban, in general, the Gezeres HaBalanim on Yantif, that a person should have slightly cooler shower with a little bit of hot water. But Meikar Adin, he says, certainly for the doctors and nurses, that they could even use a warm shower and rely on Shitas HaTosfos. So I don't know as far as Shabbos for the woman, whether he's going to be, you know, whether he was only machmir about the shinoi issue because we're talking about a malacha d'oraisa with the shinoi versus the gzeres habalanim. I was on the call, but I don't think we asked him about that possibility. So I don't know. Okay. All right. Achakashu v'samech. Bari v'samech. Okay. Take care.
Achakashu v'samech, Rabbi. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Good to see you.